Ancient of Days, we adore you. Receive our worship tonight. Receive our praise tonight. Be thou exalted in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, you may be comfortably seated if you can. Those that are under the power, under the anointing, those that are still worshiping, as you gradually come around, you can still join us. I wish you could just continue in that atmosphere of worship. It's been from one weeping prophet to another weeping prophet all day today. Dr. Ron, thank you for the powerful words. Have you been blessed by his ministration? Are you able to understand his English? Are you sure we shouldn't get an interpreter for you? You guys are very jaded, though. Tell your neighbor you are very jaded. Hallelujah. Praise God. Very quickly, what we'll try and do is to see how we can complete what we started from the life of Daniel. A lot of the points that I was to enter into, which I didn't, that was the day before yesterday, Senior Pastor has elaborated very, very expansively on it, and we just give God praise. Give God a big clap of hand. And so we continue from where we had been reading. I don't know where we're going to read now, but you remember we read the whole of Daniel chapter 1. And so we'll continue from there. Now, though, we'll be making references to other Daniel references in today. Now, from Daniel chapter 1, where we had stopped in verse 8, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where we had stopped, says, "And Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he did drink, which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Remember that we have been talking about the pathways to dominion. How do you arrive at dominion in life and destiny, in your endeavors, in all you lay your hands to do? In by way of recap, remember we said, never use your present predicament to determine your future position. And then number two, we also said, refuse to give up upon life, irrespective of where you are. Number three, he said, what looks like the end of the road might just be a bend. Keep on moving. And then we also looked at number four. He said, let nothing steal your praise. Let nothing steal your praise. If the devil cannot steal your praise, he cannot steal your dominion. Number five, we said, it doesn't matter how contrary your life or your circumstances are, if you keep your faith up, you will reach your destination. And then number six, we said, turn every disadvantage into an advantage. Let your setback be your setup for a startup. Praise the Lord. And then number seven, we said, you must be easily teachable. For you to rise to stardom, you must be easily teachable. The children that were being gathered, Daniel and his colleagues, were people that were to be taught in the ways of the Lord. And number eight, we said, not every break forth is a breakthrough. Not every break forth is a breakthrough. It's not every open door that you pass through. You are just because you got a visa, you won visa lottery to America, doesn't mean that you are to relocate there permanently. Or not because you got a job with a certain company that you should leave where you are and go there, if that is not where God is leading you. And then number nine, we said, it doesn't matter the name they call you. What is most important is who God has called you, is what name God has called you. That is most important. And number 10, we said, determination is key to distinction and dominion. Making up your mind, knowing where you are going, where you are heading, when you make up your mind, I will marry as a virgin and nothing will stop it. That's a determination. And you walk towards it, you follow everything you need to do to get there. When you make up your mind, I shall graduate as a distinction, as a first class graduate, then from day one in your university, you begin to walk towards arriving at that destination. You walk it. You walk on it. I've told you the story before. I think that was last year's youth conference. where a lecturer had an issue, another professor had an issue with my father, who was a professor of medicine in the university where I was. Well, I started before he came and met me. I was there before him. He was in another university, and then he now relocated to the university where I was. And these two professors had an issue, and this other professor's examination was further down in the medical school. It was like penultimate year to graduation. And so I made up my mind. I said the best way to escape being a victim under this person is that I must read and master his course, master his subject to an extent where I cannot be failed. And I took the textbook, then there were these voluminous textbooks, and I read the volume 1 and volume 2 back to back. I mean, cover of one to the cover of the other, cover of the second one to the cover, to the back cover of the other one, with revision notes, knew it back to back. When I got into the exam hall, it was like, you know that kind that senior pastor talks about. Students say, paper! Yeah, writing, paper! That is, you have so much stuff to write. I was writing. And the practicals, the clinicals, the viva, the orals, it was just, and then guess what happened? I was now awarded the best graduating student in that course. So even if the man had a beef with my dad, he could not fail me because evidence everywhere was overwhelming and there was nothing he could do about it. So when you make up your mind, there's a determination, you walk towards it. And that brought us to the second point under that, which was point number 12. I jumped 11. So let's look at 11. That is your determination and your sacrifices, and the things that you have forfeited today is always worth the gains of tomorrow. It's worth the what? The gains of tomorrow. And then number 12, we said, take action. Your determination must be accompanied by practical action steps. So, like I just told you, I made a determination. I cannot be failed. And then what were the practical action steps? Walking towards it. It was a tireless walk. It was a very determined walk. And then actions were taken in that direction. So you don't just make a decision. You take actions in that direction. When we were in courtship, God's servant and myself, we made up our minds and we said, we shall not defile the marital bed. Nothing will make that happen. And we told ourselves, if it happens, that's the end of the relationship. That's the end of that courtship and the marriage will not happen. And so even when we saw each other at different intervals, we made sure we put practical things in place. It was very ridiculous. I had a flat where I was staying as a house officer, and if he happened to come to visit, because we used to pray every Thursday, we used to fast and pray together every Thursday, and if he came to pray, guess what we'll do? The front door of the flat will be open. I didn't say key, not locked. It is neither locked nor is it jammed. Are you understanding what I mean? That is, the door is ajar. It's open like that. And the windows are what? Open. Curtains are drawn. And the prayer is in the parlor. Here you are. You had a 2-bedroom flat to yourself, but you are not going inside the bedroom to go and pray. Such prayer that you pray in the bedroom is a prayer unto destruction. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? We might have time to talk about this kind of things tomorrow. But you set borders and boundaries. You organize yourself. You purposely, because you know that the front door is open. Anybody can walk in at any time. Are you going to try anything? Answer me. No. All right? So you, our sister is laughing. So you take practical action steps. So now we're going into number 13. Are we ready? Number 13, we continue from where we stopped. So number 13 is, be a person of protocol. The kind of person that follows guidelines. You follow guidelines. You follow protocols. Did you look at that? Daniel followed protocols. After he made up his mind that he was not going to defile himself, what does the Bible say? Then, in verse 8. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Remember, Daniel was a prince. Daniel was of royal seed. Daniel could have arrived in Babylon with a superiority mentality. How can I talk to a fellow slave? He might not even have considered himself to be a slave. But somebody had been put in charge of him. Somebody was his reporting line. You know, there are people, they are working in a workplace. They discard the order of reporting and they just move straight to the headquarters. They move straight to the top, move straight to the boss, and they are not communicating with anybody else. A lady was working in a place and she felt she was being victimized. So we're trying to put in a word for her. What happened? And the CEO said that the other staff complained that she always liked to jump the gun. She would ignore her immediate superiors and come straight to the CEO to make the request for her own dispatch, whatever it is, you know. And so the other said, okay, we'll show you that we're in charge here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Daniel was a man that followed protocol. He followed the set order of things. Don't be a scattered person. B, don't be a rebellious person. C, don't be a person that is opposed to organizational structure. Wherever you find yourself, find out what is the modus operandi here. How is it done in this parastatal? How is it done in this organization? How is it done in this class? And you follow the procedure the way it is laid down. It's very clear that Daniel was an orderly person. He spoke to that prince and made his request through the prince. And do you know what? The prince, the Bible says, let's look at the next verse. Verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. If you read on further, the prince of the eunuchs said, I'm afraid, though, that you will not look healthy and well fed. I don't want to risk my life and risk my job. Look at that. The last line says, in case this your proposal doesn't work, then you will make me endanger my head to the king. But after Daniel said, don't worry, go ahead. He was ready, as it were, to endanger as much as his job and his life in order to favor the Daniel who had received favor in his sight. There is a way you conduct yourself that you have so much favor that people will bend over backwards to favor you. I want to announce to somebody here today, after this conference, you shall receive favor in every direction. I say you shall receive favor in all directions. You shall receive favor in all that you lay your hands to do. If there is a believer in the house, shout aloud, amen. Number 4, maintain the right company. God's servant has talked about this already. Maintain the right company. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, many of us know that passage by heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, can we read together, all of us, loud and clear? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications do what? Corrupt good manners. Can I tell you something about that? Many times, it is from what we discuss with people that we make our references. It is from what we say with people that we take decisions. And many times, when you go on SM, what is SM? Social media. You go on your Instagram handle or your Facebook handle or you go on even your WhatsApp handle and everybody say, everybody can do like this now. What is that? You are listening to communications of other people. And that communication many times influences your decision. And when scripture says, be not deceived, many times those communications appear harmless. The dancing, they are dancing and you are watching. It appears harmless. But it's communicating vulgarity. It's communicating all manner of things. The dress they are dressing might appear harmless, but it's communicating the wrong thing. Somebody is sharing a story on her stories and just shows a clip of some things that should not be seen. And that's her latest adventure with her latest boyfriend. And these things are filtering into your system. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt the good that you have learned in church growing up as a church child. Evil communications corrupt the things that your parents have communicated to you. Evil communications corrupt the things that you have made up your mind about. You shall not be a victim of the spirit of this age. If you believe it, shout a loud amen. Still under that, if you look at Daniel chapter 2 verse 17, you will see that the friends that Daniel kept were friends that were ready to support him in his beliefs. In 17, it says, then Daniel went to the house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and his companions. What was the thing? That they should desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. When you read further into Daniel chapter 2, you are going to see, okay, then, verse 19, thank you, okay, yeah, let me summarize. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Alright, now, there was a dream that the king had had, and he could not remember the dream, and he could not remember the interpretation. And he now told all the wise men, remember those boys that were trained in the academy for 3 years, along with Daniel, when Daniel and his friends said they are not defiling themselves. Now, those other people were all called upon, and they were told to interpret, tell the dream and interpret, and they couldn't. And the king was angry, said he's killing everybody. Then, when the news through one of the chamberlains that Daniel had favor with, because these ones were not with them, that chamberlain came and told them that, look, oh, this was going on. This is what the king said, and this is his verdict. He's about to kill everybody. So Daniel now stood up, went to the king and said, excuse me, Oga, I have favor with you. Give us time, me and my friends. It doesn't matter if you are killing the others, but give us time. I promise you that my God is going to speak on my behalf. And the king said, okay, go ahead and give it a try. And Daniel did what? He went to his companions. Friends who you can hold on to are friends that are ready to stick with you through thin and thick. I don't think that it was all of them that had the idea of not eating the portion of the king's meat. But Daniel, when he told the others, say, yeah, bro, I agree with you. Yeah, bros, let's go ahead. I agree with you. Let's do that. That's the right thing to do. We are Jews. We are of the Hebrews. We should not defile ourselves with the hidden food that has been offered to idols. They agreed with him. Friends that can agree with you even in the most difficult situations. How about when they now pray together in this place? They pray together. They were ready to risk their lives together. Further down, you are going to come across when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. I don't know where Daniel was that day, but Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. They agreed, we won't bow. The three of them, they said, we will not bow. We are ready to perish. And what they tell the king, if we perish, we perish. They were ready to risk their lives together. Beloved, you are not supposed to keep company with friends that will leave you halfway and abandon you. God's servant tells a funny story. Something like robbers or something attacked a man and his household, and the man said to them, "Say, you know, they used to say ladies first. That is, they should kill the wife first before they turn to him. Is that a man or a machete? You shall never have such a husband. You shall never have such a wife. If you believe it, shout a loud amen." And if you look at what happened in that place in Daniel chapter 3 verse 13, and Kai, we can't read all of it. Daniel 3, 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded that they bring Shadrach, Meshach. This is the story of putting them into the fire forest, furnace. And then in verse 30, what does the king say? What happened? After they came out and God helped them, the Bible says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Somebody is about to be promoted to the place of dominion in the name of Jesus. Number 15, be a God representative. Be a God representative. Be a God promoter. Let everyone that you meet, let everyone know you with God. Let everyone know your identity with God. Don't be this kind of Christian that is hiding. Today you are with this group, tomorrow you are with that group. This group, you are, you know, I remember in secondary school, this is Form 4. In my time, we used to finish secondary school in Form 5. There wasn't Form 6 then. Oh, sorry, SS6. Alright? So we used to finish in Form 5. So in Form 4, you are second to the graduating year, and then shortly after a few months, they make you the prefect. So we were not yet the prefects, but there was a social prefect. And that particular social night, normally on the social night, they do cultural dances, they do dramas, they do different things. And I think they have one cultural day in a term or two. I can't remember that detail. But I remember this one, that particular cultural night was to be a disco party. So those of us FCS girls that were born again Christians, we agreed with each other. There was no GSM. Word of mouth. Tell the person in this hostel. Tell the person in that hostel. We are not going for this social night. And we didn't go. Hey, well, the demon possessed young lady in the name of being the social prefect now went to all the hostels and asked everybody that was not in the hall for the socials. They were to come out and they were to serve punishment. They were to kneel down. They were to walk on their knees all the way from their hostel rooms to wherever that hall was, and all manner of things. Well, we started at first, then we realized for what? So we all got up like a riot mode and said, no, this is our conviction. This is what we stand for. This is what we identify for. When it is normal socials, we come. But we're not coming to go and defile ourselves in that place. That's how the matter ended, and the so-called prefect could do nothing about it. Beloved, make up your mind to be a promoter of God everywhere you find yourself. In Daniel chapter 2 verse 28, after he interpreted that dream, what did the king say? He said, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known the thing to King Nebuchadnezzar. What shall be in the later days? Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are this. So he gave the whole dream and the whole interpretation. And then in verse 46, what did the king say? The king said to him, then King Nebuchadnezzar did what? He fell upon his face. Very soon, kings will fall down and bow to you in a more like worship. He said, and he worshipped who? Daniel. And he commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. You are living here in dominion. You are not understanding what I'm saying. Are you very tired? You are living here in dominion by virtue of your identification and your stand for God in the name of Jesus. Number 16. When you go up, we are talking about secrets or pathway to dominion. When you go up, carry other people as well. You get promoted. The guys that were your palace, take them up as well. Speak a good word for them. Put a word into the boss on their behalf. If you look at Daniel chapter 2 verse 36, he's still on that dream. Do you know what happened? Daniel got the interpretation. What did he say to the king? They now went to the king, him and his Nebuchadnezzar and the others. Mishael, Hazarah, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went together to the king. Remember, it was only Daniel that went to beg the king, give us time, let us pray. Then they prayed. Daniel got the dream and the interpretation. But when they all went back to the king to tell the king, this is what he said. He said, this is the dream. We will tell the interpretation thereof to the king. Who had the dream? Who had the interpretation of the dream? Daniel. when he went to report the case, who did he say was coming to tell the case? He said, we. You know, there are people that cut people at the back. I don't want that word. They stab backstabbing. Alright? They did the work together. They brainstormed together. Maybe the other people even got all the concepts before him. And then this one now appears and presents the matter as if it was him that worked it out. There's somebody I'm about to handle very soon. There's a whole project that was carried out. He doesn't know the beginning of the project. He doesn't know how it was initiated. He doesn't know how it was carried out. He doesn't know how many months it took to do. When the project was finished, he went to the place, videoed everything, and sent to me. Then he went, carried senior pastor. Senior pastor was with his drivers, everybody, all manner. And this is a high-level security setup that we were setting up. Carried everybody. Exposed the venue to everybody. I think he set it up. So I said, are you okay? What are you trying to prove? You know, there are people like that. How many of you know such people? They don't have anything to do in the matter. When it's time to celebrate the work done, they are the ones that will come and be standing. Oga, na me and them. And you are not there. You shall never have experience of such people around your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, what did Daniel do? Daniel said, we. It didn't matter for the king to know. Why are you guys laughing? It didn't matter for the king to know who it was that eventually got the interpretation. And then this is the point I was making here. In Daniel chapter 2 verse 49, let's read that together. Even if we stop here, I still have up to number 20, but my time is like virtually up. Up to number 20 in this. And then our main topic for today. where are we? Then Daniel requested the king. Let's read together. One, two, go. Let's stand up on our feet and read it together. You know the way they do in Orthodox churches, you read the Bible reading for the day standing. Can we go? Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. You can sit down back. Alright? Praise the Lord. Did you see that? After this interpretation, the king now promoted Daniel. He was now like second in command to the king. But Daniel didn't stop there. He now told the king, please, this my brothers. Let's give them a worthy position. And they were all what? Promoted. When you are going up, carry others with you. Time will fail me to talk about people that climbed up a ladder. You use this thing and you climbed up. You climbed up. You got to the top of where you are going. Now you say, yeah, I'm now up. See me? I'm above you all. I'm in dominion. And then you do what? You kick the ladder off. Wow. Just wait. While you are there, on top of the skyscraper, and maybe some birds decide to do a bird strike, there's no more ladder for you to run down, no? Be careful who you knock out of the way where you have gone up. You might need their help somewhere along the line. You shall not be a victim. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Well, I think, should we stop here? You are not the determinant. See, clock is flashing. Hi. Oh. Well, let's do number 17. Pastor. Number 17. Let's look at Daniel 4:30. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm asking him to find out where our next special speaker is coming up. Praise God. So I can just eat into that time a little. Is that okay with you? Are you sure? Praise the Lord. Okay, so I continue while he's making the inquiries. So number 17, stay humble. All right, guys, so that this thing is not flashing at me, add 5 minutes. Stay humble. This is incidental, okay? This point in the pathway to dominion in the life of Daniel is kind of incidental because it was not him. It was not really him. But it occurred under his watch. So look at what happened in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. He says, the king spake and said, is not this great Daniel that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And what did the Bible say? That is, the king Nebuchadnezzar was boasting. Here he was ruling over a huge empire. He had conquered so many countries. They were all under his rule and jurisdiction. At least nothing less than 120 countries were under him. He was in charge. He was the king over all of them. And interestingly, he had had a dream before then. It was a warning dream. And Daniel came and told him, this is the dream, this is the interpretation, and this is the meaning. That you should humble yourself. Don't, you know, when you get back home, read all of it from the beginning of chapter 4, okay? When you get back, read all of it. Now, much later, one day, he now got up in the afternoon on his pavilion or whatever, in his palace, he now got up and he was saying, is not this the great Babylon that I have made by my power, by my rulership, by my greatness? And the Bible says in the next verse, yes, the one you are just showing, the Bible says, and while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and immediately, okay, and then, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou shalt know. What shall he know? Let's read that part together. Until thou shalt know. Go back. We are still. Do you know where we are? Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Hey! It was immediately that voice came from heaven. The king in his royal garments. All the red and purple and gold and scarlet. The king walking on his pavilion just went down on his knees. Man. The king became an animal. Crawling on his hand and foot. They had to drive him into the forest. The one that God's servant said the other day that there are some people, if they ruled a nation the way that man did, they would have buried him in an evil forest. The man became an animal. And he was banished to the forest for 7 years. And this is the king that is telling this part of the story. And he said, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, I knew that it is God. If you don't stay humble, God will humble you. He says in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, what do? I praise and I extol and I honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride. What will happen? Those that walk in pride, what will happen? He is able to abase. A young man in a school in Europe was leading a very vibrant student fellowship. Very vibrant. They had meetings, they prayed online, it was very vibrant. The young people that were part of that fellowship were growing spiritually. It was very powerful. And then pride came up like this. Started swelling up. Nobody could talk to him. Nobody could call him to order. Before you knew it, since all the girls loved the leader of the fellowship, he decided to pick one for himself. Deceived the girl. Carried the girl. Girl's not answering anybody's call again. She's not responding to anybody again. Then himself stops answering people. Stops responding to people. Then before you knew it, he drops out of school. He's going to start ministry. Before you knew it, upside down. Why? Because of pride. Pride. Nebuchadnezzar says, they that walk in pride, God is able to abase. He's able to humble. May you not be humbled by God in the name of Jesus. Remember what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. What does it say? Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. If you will not allow pride on your journey into dominion, you will reach the uttermost pinnacle of dominion in life and destiny. If you believe it, say a loud amen. I'm waiting for the pastor to come and give me feedback so I shall continue. Number 18. Be a person of integrity. Remember, God's servant took a lot of time and talked on this very extensively. He talked on financial integrity. You are here. He also talked about moral purity. You are here this morning. He talked all around purity and all around integrity. Look at what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 2. Daniel 6, 2 and 3. It says, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was what? He was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. When you walk in integrity and in excellence, there's no struggle for your promotion. There's no struggle in placing you above others. The Bible says the king appointed these people so that they will look after what belonged to the king. So that the king will suffer no damage. Suffer no loss. There would be no losses. The king should have all that belongs to him intact. I read a story, I think last month or 2 months ago. And I generally shared it to my children on our family platform and some workers, strategic work platforms, and then my extended family platform. Japan, known for integrity. There was a downtime on their computer system, and there was no power for some hours. And as a result, the toll gate connecting one of the major cities to another, the toll gate was not working. So, the people drove past. They now opened the barricade. And the people were able to drive through and went to work, drive through and came back. Was it 48 hours? 48 hours later, when the light was restored and the computer systems of the toll gate was restored, the people went online and paid the toll. All of them, they paid for passing through the toll gate. Now, remember, there was no light, so there was no record. The CCTV did not capture the cars passing in and out. Their plate numbers were not captured. The government could not know whether that man drove on that road that day or not. But integrity demand on them as individuals. They went online to the website and they all made payment for the toll for passing through that gate. Hey! When will we get there? It will start from us. It will start from us, the youths. It will start from our generation. We are the ones that are going to start putting things right in our lives, in our universities, in our workplaces, in our country. If there is a believer in the house, you shout a loud amen. Sure, you know some places, enjoyment. In fact, make how they go, they come many times. But no, they passed and they paid. God shall give us the highest level of integrity in the name of Jesus. Look at what happened in verse 21. Still talking about integrity in verse 21. And Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Yes? My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Praise the Lord. He said his innocency delivered him from the intended destruction of those that were against him. They set up for him to be destroyed. He was thrown into a lion's den, and the lions didn't eat him. The next morning, the Bible says concerning the king, he couldn't sleep. There was no music played for him. He couldn't eat. He was awake all night because this was his treasured staff. This was a man that he valued with every level of value. And then a trap caught him. He signed a document. He didn't know the implication would fall on Daniel. And God delivered Daniel. And Daniel said, the innocency of my life. Will your innocence deliver you? Will it speak for you? Think about it. In all that you do, will it speak for you? I saw a little skit the other day. They sent a little boy to go and buy bread yesterday. The mother gave him money. He went and bought bread. He came back home. He didn't give the change to the mother. The mother was looking at him. So the next morning, it's time for breakfast. She now said, go and use the change of yesterday to buy bread for the house. What will he do? He will just faint and confess his sins. Because the change he didn't bring back, he had eaten it. He had spent it. It was not available. How many of you did they send and you didn't bring back change? In your house, your mother sent you. You didn't bring back change. You are doing teeny ni tanana. This is my luck. They reduced the price. They were not there to price it. Me that priced it. This is my reward. And all manner of calculations and mentality. They sent you in the office. You didn't bring back the change. One of the songs that one of the ministers sang, Dr. Daniela, said, There's someone out there watching over you with open arms. He's watching. You know, we might not see him, but he's doing what? He's watching. May he not catch you. He may not do anything now, but the reward is later in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, number 19. Be consistent in your spirituality. That's where we read just now in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, when they set a trap for Daniel. And let's read that together. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. You know, the Jews still pray towards Jerusalem today, right? They know the location, so in their house they know that window where it faces Jerusalem. He opened towards Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. As he did aforetime. That's the part I want you to take note of. As it was his habit. As he has always been doing. It's not because the decree came that he did it. It's his habit. That is his practice. That is his lifestyle. Beloved brothers and sisters, your consistency of spirituality is the key to your advancement and your dominion in life. And in verse 23, he told them, he said, after he said, innocence was found in me, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. So his worship of God was out of belief. It was a personal relationship. I say it again. I used to say it to our children when they were much younger growing up. I used to say to them, what did I used to say to you guys? I said, God does not have grandchildren. How many times have you heard that? 1,008 times. God does not have grandchildren. Can somebody tell me what that means? Every individual is a child of God. God does not consider you a grandchild because your father is born again. He considers you a child because you have a relationship with him. Daniel had a personal relationship with him. It had nothing to do with others. It had nothing to do with where he came from. He believed in his God. My prayer is that we shall begin to believe in our God in the name of Jesus Christ. Number 20. That's my last point on this pathways. Number 20. Be desperate for the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life and in your generation. Desperation. Desperation. God's servant talked about this, I think, the first night. God's servant talked about it the first night. Be desperate for the fulfillment of God's plan and agenda in your life. Look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jerusalem, to Jeremiah the prophet, that he should accomplish 7 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Daniel took it upon himself to seek what God's will was. And he went out of his way to begin to see to the establishment of that God's will. The second point you see here about the desperation for the fulfillment of God's will is in verse 3. After he understood by books, what next did he do? He said, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and by supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He set his face to seek by prayer, supplication with fasting and sackcloth. To seek God. So he studied the word. It wasn't because it was a general Bible study. It was a personal study. Next, he prayed with supplication. He wasn't just praying for himself. When you talk about supplication, you are praying for others. So he was praying for his land. He was praying for Israel. He prayed with fasting. He forfeited his food. One of the prayers was 21 days. Another was 3 days, 7 days, all manner. Some were what they call today Daniel fast. He refused to eat meat and pleasant food. Fourthly, with sackcloth. Sackcloth talks about sacrifice. Sackcloth is not what you want to wear. Many of you in your generation, you've never seen that kind of sackcloth. You've not seen that sack. There's this sack they used to use in those days, in those Kaduna, Katsina areas, when they harvest groundnuts. It's a brown cloth. It's a brown knit. It's a brown weave. They make bags with it. Now we have the bags made from polyester. Abi was a rubber. All right. Now that thing is very itchy. If you put it on your body, it's itchy. It's irritating. It's not smooth. It's not pleasant to the skin. You know how a silk cloth or a silk shirt feels on your body, as opposed to maybe, in fact, even these days, Ashoke is smooth on the body now. That was what he wore. Not that he was commanded, not that anybody was supervising him, but out of passion for the fulfillment of God's will and agenda. And he prayed. Beloved, Daniel prayed until God sent an angel to him. It wasn't once, it wasn't twice. Daniel chapter 10, let's look at that. Daniel 10:2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then what happened? And in the 420th day of the first month, as I was by the river, side of the great river, which is Hedekel, then I lifted up my eyes, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins was girded with fine gold of uppers. His body was also, and then he describes it. But the angel came and delivered God's message to him. God sent the angel for the answer to his prayers. After 21 days of prayer and fasting, God spoke to him. God answered him. God helped him. And what was the result? The children of Israel would have continued in captivity after the 70 years passed. But he had seen in the study of the books that after 70 years, the captivity would end and they would go free. Beloved, part of why many people are still in captivity in life and destiny is because they have not opened the book. They have not opened the Bible to see what is written concerning them. Like the Bible says concerning Jesus, he opened in the synagogue in the book to the place where it was written concerning him. And God will only answer for you when you see what is meant for you in the scriptures. I want to announce to you today that after today, God is about to arise on your behalf. If there's somebody like that, jump up on your feet and shout a loud amen. Lift up your voice tonight and pray. I don't know what you have heard, but we're going to go and we're going to pray, even if it is 30 seconds on each of the 20 points on the pathways to dominion. 20 points. 30 minutes on the 20 points. ICT, help us. Let's start from the beginning. Lift up your voice and begin to talk to God. Say, Father, thank you because of the dominion mandate that has been given by you for my life. I step, oh God, into the reality of it in the name of Jesus. Father, help me never to use my present predicament to predict my future position. Lift up your voice and pray. It doesn't matter where you are. Maybe I'm looking for food to eat in the hostel. That is not the determinant of where you end in life. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say, Father, I refuse to give up on life because of where I find myself today. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray. Father, I refuse to give up on life because of where I find myself today. I step into the reality of where you have in mind for me. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say, Father,
Father,
I ask that everything that looks like the end of the road against my life, I step beyond it. I move forward in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and say, Father, all pathways that we have gone through, I ask for God that you help me never to miss the way. Let me reach my place of dominion. Let me follow the pathways accurately in the name of Jesus. Let's lift up our voice and to pray that in summary. Help me, O God, not to miss the way. Help me, O Lord. Let's show the Marabayosa. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, thank you for hearing our prayers tonight. We are so grateful. We give you all the glory and the praise. Be thou exalted. Thank you because we shall make it. We shall reach our places in dominion. In Jesus' name. Somebody give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise. Is there anybody here that wants any special prayer? There's something that must leave you. Don't worry, I'm not calling you out because of time. Lift up your hands. There's something that must give way. Out of the points we have talked about, something must give way so you can walk in your dominion. Say, Jesus, I walk in the reality of dominion. Take away every stumbling block in my life that will stand on the way of my fulfilling destiny. In Jesus' name, I pray for you and I break the yoke of limitations from your life and I decree you shall serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Let's celebrate the Lord.